Why do people stay in toxic relationships? Hello everyone, welcome to Signpost for Living with Dr. Kirsten Hunter, and we've got gorgeous Kristen Coggan here. Hello, darling.
Hello.
Here we are again.
Sun's shining though. We're normally, sun's not up when we're together.
It's just so good.
Which makes us sound like vampires.
We do normally do this at the night owl, don't we?
Yeah,
no, it's great. It's a beautiful day. We should get out there. Mm-hmm. Okay, so why people stay in toxic relationships? Mm-hmm. I really love this topic because it's so common. So I wrote this one down because I had a client come in and they said, you know, my person, mm-hmm. my relative, has been with their partner for however many years, and over these years, she has known that this person is really bad news, mm-hmm. and the family knows, and mm-hmm. the friends know, and they've had many, many breakups, and these are all of the atrocious things that happen, mm-hmm. and he's bad news. Sounds like personality disorder, well and truly, very, very toxic, but she keeps going back.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps going back. And one, why?
Mm-hmm.
And two, I'm burnt out.
Mm, yep.
You know, how many times can you support the person who goes, I'm really going to leave and this is it and I'm so desperate and I'm so incredibly unhappy, and the next time you go see them, they're behaving like happy families and like squeezing it under this massive mat. Yeah. So what are your thoughts straight up?
I feel for both parties in that scenario.
Oh,
incredibly.
Yeah.
It's so hard because on one side of the fence you'd be thinking, my friend, there must be a reason. Like, there has to be a reason why they keep going back, and maybe it's I don't understand it, or maybe I can't know it. There's a reason. There's something there. And so you'd have empathy towards that. But the other part of me would be so burnt out and I'd want to shake them.
Yeah.
And
shake sense into them. Yeah.
Or just abscond with them one day and steal them and put them on a plane and send, like, just get it done. Like, this is stupid. Why are we going around and around in circles? Help yourself. If you can't help yourself, I can't help you. That would be how I'd go. So I can understand both sides.
Well, I've had family members who have come in and abducted their family member from a toxic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because the person has said, if I ever go back, please do this. And then they do. They go and they grab them and they say, let's go. And it's a really highly conflictual issue. And usually the person sort of gets enough space and their head gets clear, and then they say, you know, thank you, I appreciate that. But that's pretty extreme, isn't it?
And is it, yeah. And is it because it wouldn't be just for one reason, but the person that keeps going back, does it boil down, like it could be finance, it could be lots of things, but does it boil down to self-confidence and that person that they're going back to has them convinced that they can't survive without them
in
any way, shape or form. And so they just don't think that they can stand on their own two feet and get away.
You've absolutely nailed it.
Oh!
There you go. 10 out of 10. It's confidence. It's confidence. So, you know, if most people, when they go into the relationship, let's just say that they're adequately healthy mentally,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if they were to walk into the relationship that it came to be, they would walk straight out again. They would say, oh my gosh, I'm not putting up with that. Mm-hmm. That's just horrendous. You're a terrible person. I'm not going to be treated that way. But once they've been in the relationship for quite a while, the nature of domestic violence, which is what we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
Is that that person has eroded you. So you are, your confidence, your sense of I'm lovable, I'm worthy.
Yeah, I'm worthwhile.
I can cope. It's all out the window.
Mm.
They are just a tiny little pea. And, the abusive person has worked very, very hard to erode their confidence so that they don't have the confidence to leave. You know, I think about the Jews in the Holocaust, you know, make them so malnourished they can't leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did. So then they didn't end up having to do much to keep them there because they didn't have the strength to leave. It's the same sort of analogy.
Yeah.
It's horrifying. So, yeah, they don't have that confidence to leave. Also, I think that they've been in this strange world for so long, it becomes normal.
Mm.
They don't realise how dysfunctional it is, how they do realise because they hide it from everyone. Mm. You know, they typically kind of keep what happens mm-hmm. behind closed doors very private. They're very embarrassed. They're very mm-hmm. ashamed. So they do realise to that degree. But I think it just becomes normal to live in that war. And so then they're not as distressed, or it doesn't have the urgency.
The seriousness of the situation doesn't get to them because they're so used to it. It becomes yes.
Yeah.
So you're saying that instead of abducting the person and getting them out, you should abduct the perpetrator and take them out. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying
okay,
that.
Okay, right.
No.
Sorry, everyone ignore that.
No, and I think it's also really important to realise that the person is usually isolated at this stage because you know, the abusive person has tried very hard to isolate them. They've cut them off from their friends. They've been, really manipulated and attacked for going and seeing their friends. So they're quite isolated. Family, they've probably had conflict with family because, you know, they've felt that they've had to align themselves with their partner when their partner's misbehaved. So they're very isolated from their support network as well.
And that's on purpose by that person that's done that, isn't it?
Oh, it's incredibly strategic, but yet not inventive because it's on repeat.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Financially,
you
know, this person usually has the control of all the finances, so that's huge. Often they've worked very hard for that, for the person, not always, but the person who's in the abusive relationship, for them not to have pursued their career and not to be in a strong position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've usually put their needs aside.
Yes.
Not always. And what else? They also, then there's stigma.
Mm.
They have this thing, I need to stay for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
If I heard that, I just want to jump out of my skin every time I hear that. Because they think, having a intact family is
far good more family. Valuable than having your children live in the same, under the same roof as someone with a personality disorder.
Yes, yes. And that it's better to have an intact family than it is, and the negative is that you're going to live with all this conflict, you're going to live with this dysfunctional person. And the flip side is having separated parents, but a parent who can heal and become healthy and have a family home that is safe and where mental health is the priority, you know. So there is this really, you know, archaic concept of being embarrassed about separating or divorce.
Mm.
You know, like I have a lot of people who they separate and then they don't tell anyone.
Yes.
Have you?
I've actually had a couple of people in my life who have stayed with someone because they don't want to be the stigma of being a single mum.
Yes.
Like, is there a? I didn't know that there was one, but that's apparently there is.
You just looked around then, like, where is that stigma?
Yeah,
is there stigma? I don't see a stigma. Like, I don't get it at all.
Super people. If you can be a single parent, wow.
When I meet people, I don't meet them and see that they're single or see that they're with someone and presume anything. If they're with someone, I pause my opinion to see whether they're happy.
Mm.
I don't presume it's a happy ever after.
Yeah,
hope it is, but yeah, no, absolutely. And then there's the big threat of I'm going to keep the kids.
Yes.
You're a nutcase. I'm going to keep the kids. That's a common one.
And that would be so frightening and terrifying for that person.
Well, I mean, if you believe that, that actually is reason to stay, isn't it? So, but that's not true in Western civilization anyway, because there is an understanding of domestic violence and, you know, we have family court reports and they can disclose what has been happening, what the power dynamic is, and usually the person who's the abuser has to work very hard to have access to the children, actually. It's the other way around. So, and also in Australia anyway, if you don't have finances, then there's legal aid that get you through. You can even self-represent. So, you know, you can navigate that. It's not true. But, of course, they know that if they threaten to keep the kids, then, you know, you're going to be just frozen, paralysed. So, yeah, no, it's pretty huge. So when people say why, I literally look at the clock.
Yeah, because you think, how long have we got?
Do we have time? This is so complicated. And the outsider says, it's a bad relationship, don't be in it. And that's the simplicity of their view. And it's nothing like that at all.
No.
No.
No, it's so convoluted and so different for everybody, obviously.
Yes.
So the foundations of the core of the problem would be different and have to dig in and stuff. It's terrible. It's so sad, isn't it?
It's so sad. So I think, so I think the answer is that basically the person feels trapped and that they're basically indoctrinated into a system and they kind of can't see their way out of that. Yeah. So that's the thing. Now, what about burnout?
So that's the other side of it for that person who's doing the caring and the helping and the assisting and the live. They live with it too, you know, like it's on their mind all the time as well. So
and they feel so powerless.
Yes, and that was the next thing. And you feel so useless.
Yeah. You just literally want to snatch and grab them and get them out of there. Mm. Absolutely. Mm. I think that what they can do is understand that the person who's in that situation, their executive function is really impacted. They can't think, they can't problem solve, they don't think they can do anything. So I think a really great idea is to take them out, just go have a coffee, pen and paper, and project manage them and say, okay, this is, you can do this. Let me show you how you can do this. Mm-hmm. This could be the plan. And kind of help hold their hand and not boss them and not bully them, but just sort of be a bit of a light that to say, you know, this is what you could do.
Yeah.
You know, you could go and live here and this is what you could do with your finances and this is the lawyer we could go to and these are your rights and this is how you could go about it so that you're safe and I'll help you.
And understand that you get that for that person to take all that in and absorb it is going to take a long time too, I think.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Mm. It is a lot.
So if they don't do it straight away, don't be perturbed. Keep going.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. And also know that when the shit hits the fan, they genuinely might turn to you and say, can you be my brain for a bit because I'm not working? And you might need to take that. Mm. But then you can do all of that and then they can go back because that person says, oh, I realise and I feel really terrible, and the person's been trained to feel responsible for them, or they say, I'm going to commit suicide.
Yes. So that's the perpetrator you're talking about, yes?
Yep. They say, oh, I'm so depressed because you're leaving, my life is over, I'm going to commit suicide.
Yep.
And that is extremely common, and the person goes back because they can't, I can't be responsible for the death of my children's father.
Hmm. Yeah, you can.
Well, no, the but truth I'm special. You are refreshing. No, the truth is that no one can take responsibility for somebody else. And you can't stay in a relationship being held hostage.
No, that's right.
And 95% of the time that is just a threat. So a bit of a dark topic today.
Very dark topic.
Yeah.
But one that needs to be discussed and may actually really help someone.
I hope
who's
so.
Helping someone.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think, as we always say, the more you understand, the more you're in a strong position to navigate that. Mm. Yeah, so there you go.
And don't assume anything, I guess, either.
No, just try to gather information and help them feel safe to talk.
Yeah.
Definitely. And, you know, I don't mean, we're in Australia here, we've got domestic violence orders and all these sorts of things, so the police can help you as well. Not perfect system.
No.
But.
And there's not a perfect system, but there's an absolute awareness in society now about domestic violence that there never has been before.
Well,
so it's moving in the right direction.
Oh, just in the last 12 months, we've had two legislative changes. Do you know about them?
No.
There you go. So we've got one where it's just brought down the threshold for what is included as being defined as.
Yes,
and,
okay.
Now it's understood to be more psychological control.
Yes.
So that's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas previously that was the old school of show me your bruise.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is that the DVOs have gone, I don't know why they call them DVOs or AVOs. Anyway, they've gone from 3 years to 5 years.
Okay.
So that's very significant.
Hmm.
So there really is a move towards trying to...
An acknowledgement too that change needs to happen.
Yeah. And this whole idea of, you know, just because it happens behind closed doors does not make it okay.
No.
Yeah. On that light note, let's wrap up.
Yes. let's do that.
Let's go light next, hey?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, darling.
So here we are with my little... end that I do for everybody about Kirsten and where you can find her. Her website is kirstenhunterauthor.com. Facebook and Instagram, she's Kirsten Hunter Author. Her Twitter handle is Kirsten Hunter AU. Her YouTube channel is Psych in Your Car. And you've been listening to Signposts for Living with Dr. Kirsten Hunter.
Thank you.
And me.
And me and Kristen Coggan. Yeah, big cheer, everyone. Woo! All right. All right. See you, darling. Thank you. Bye.